Hey, this is Brian. Good stuff happening in our church, Crossroads in 2020, although I'm excited that 2020 is about to be over. Let's get ready for 2021. But let's also recognize that God has used us incredibly beautifully. Many of us are givers out of a spiritual discipline. We give a percentage of our income to God as clockwork. Others of us give in different ways. I want to make sure you understand God has used us and used your giving in a massive, massive way. Do you realize we support Compassion International? We've tried to get more folks to help kids who are in poverty and who need educated. And for all of the country, we accounted for more than 40% of all new sponsorships for Compassion International. Come on, that's amazing. Some would have said, well, why would you do that? Why would you try to funnel your resources outside of your own church when this is a critical, difficult time for all of us? There's a lot of financial uncertainty. Yeah, there is. We're not a business. We're a church. We don't save our money for a rainy day. Right now, it's raining right now in our country. It's raining right now. And we have been spending the resources that God has brought us through your generosity. And we want to continue to do that, which is why ending 2020 financially strong would be really, really important. So please take a look at your finances. Look at how God has blessed you. And just pick something that you know that would honor God to help us continue to build into the things that God is calling you and I, our church, to. A lot of ministry is yet to be done in 2020 and in 2021, and our giving fuels and pushes that. So thanks for being on the team, and I look forward to the future with you.
Is Christmas canceled this year?
Does Santa have to wear a mask?
Does Santa have COVID?
How is there going to get presents?
Yeah, this year's a little cuckoo. The good news, Christmas is coming. A season of hope and light. It might just be exactly what this weary world needs most. Christmastime 2020, a new weekly series from Crossroads.
Are we still having Christmas?
Heck yeah, we are, kid. Check out the Crossroads app on your smart TV or go to crossroads.net/Christmas.
Welcome to Crossroads. We're in week two of our Christmas series called Christmastime. And I am right now at a tree farm, a Christmas tree farm. You know, a lot of people get freaked out about, oh, Christmas trees, it must be some old pagan thing. It's actually not in the Bible. Well, Christmas trees may not be in the Bible, but the spiritual meaning of Christmas trees are, because Jesus actually has a connection to the Christmas tree. Jesus is known as the Lamb of God, and Christmas is all about the Lamb coming into the world, and believe it or not, it has a connection with this living, actual, breathing Christmas tree. So we're going to talk about that today. Before we get into that, can't think of anything better to do right now than connect with God through worship. Let's sing to Him right now. Let's connect with Him and with each other by telling Him He's really, really good and He's worthy, and let's do that by singing.
Time.
whose birth the angels sing. Come, adore, on bended knee, to Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
One of the things I love about the holidays is it means we get to come together. And I know here in 2020, that looks way different than all of us ever imagined. It looks different for me and my family. But it is still a time, whether with close friends or close family, where we still come together. And in these next few moments with these songs that we sing, you're going to be tempted to think we're not together. You're going to be tempted to think this is a music video that you're watching. No, no, no. This is a time where we come together as a church to sing and give him our hearts and our focus. So lean in this time, come together with us, and let's worship him.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. In Christ the Lord. Hey! Oh, ye gather round, oh, ye gather round, gather round, gather round. Oh, ye gather round, oh, ye gather round. Oh, ye gather round, oh, ye gather round. Yeah. Oh, ye gather round, oh, ye gather round. Oh, come, all.
precious Lamb of God. You were born into sin that I may live again. The precious Lamb of God. And holy is the Lamb. The precious Lamb of God. Why you love me so?
I'm Hannah, and welcome to the Crossroads Christmas Workshop.
I'm Kyle. We're here to spread a little extra joy to all the little boys and girls this Christmas.
And you know what? We get to read all these sorts of cool letters that come in from all around the world. And this year, we've got a lot more questions than normal because, you know, 2020.
Yeah, it's been a different year. It's been a painful year. I don't even like bringing this up. I feel like it's already in our minds. We already know why it's been such a terrible year.
Right.
Because back... kind of late winter, the whole world found out about this event that Prince Harry and Meghan were stepping down. And it's just like every day's been different for me. I think every day's been different for you because of that. So just maybe we just keep going. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, Kyle. Definitely been a hard year. But you know what? These are important questions. And we wanted to just, you know, get into a couple of them and read some of them for you guys. So
this one comes from Arrow in Kentucky, addressed to Mr. Santa Claus, North Pole, America. Arrow, first of all, North Pole, not in America. We're going to let that slide open your letter anyway. See what you have to say. Okay. Arrow asks, how will Santa stay safe from coronavirus and get to all the houses?
Great question. That's such a good question. You know what? Santa doesn't come out until everyone goes to bed, so it's like a safe quarantine situation. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Consider... rather than milk and cookies this year, maybe we leave out some disinfectant wipes that are different colors. When we pull them out, it's like red, green. That would be amazing. He would love that.
Something else to think about. Santa can't get sick.
Oh, I didn't know that, Kyle.
Yeah, he can't. He has Santa bodies. So he's safe. It's cool. Can't get sick.
I think that counts as a dad joke. Yep. All right, this next one, let's get into it. This next one is from JaVale from Detroit. Let's see what he's got to say. How can I give back and help others this Christmas?
First of all, how can you get to my house and influence my children? Because that is an amazing question, Joel.
Oh my goodness.
Incredible.
Incredible question. You know what? One of the ways that Kyle and I are trying to make a difference around here and around everywhere is by giving.
If you want to give or just learn more about where it goes to, you can go to crossroads.net/give.
You know, there's a lot going on this December. I mean, a lot. But we have an incredible Christmas special that you can experience wherever you are. I mean, we've just been putting the work in. We might even have this mug at the Christmas special. I don't know. It's going to be amazing. To see it, you can download the Crossroads TV app to watch it on the big screen. Or you can go to crossroads.net/Christmas to learn a little bit more about all things Christmas.
Now let's get to Brian. He's going to talk about how Jesus came with a purpose of dying.
Sharpening up this knife, it's gonna have some significance later on. I'm always hesitant to do that in front of people because everyone has an opinion about how you're supposed to sharpen a knife. And, oh, it's too dangerous, you're not doing it right. I'm getting it sharp, okay? It has significance for us today. We're going to talk about lambs. Talk about shepherds. I'm not going to do a deep dive on shepherds. We're going to have a Christmas special coming up. It's going to be amazing. You're not going to want to miss it. You're going to want to get all of your friends, all your family to watch. It's going to be seriously one of the most inspiring things you could possibly do this Christmas. We're not going to talk about shepherds, but we're going to talk about the lamb. What does the lamb have to do with Christmas? The Bible refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. What does that mean? A lot of us would say, I know what that means. I think. Oftentimes we don't want to ask questions because we don't want to appear to look dumb or sound dumb. You're not dumb at all. You're very smart to be here, to be stimulated spiritually today. That's what I want to try to do, is build into you and get you to a new place spiritually. And I want to read for us a classic Christmas text from the book of Luke, chapter 2, and here's what it says. There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." The point of a shepherd's job is to be around the lambs. And there is deep, deep spiritual significance about that. These lambs had very little control over their life. And in many ways, they were victims. Do you find yourself frustrated with how little control you have over life these days? I do. I find I've lost all control. Things have been happening all through 2020 that I can't control. I can't control the economy. I can't control the pandemic. I can't control the government's response to the pandemic. I can't control how much money Mike Brown pays the offensive linemen who are supposed to protect Joe Burrow. I can't control any of it. And in a sense, I'm a victim of something and of things that I can't control. That's actually the first big idea I want to blow out today. We're all victims. I'm here at a Christmas tree farm, and we're going to go out and have a little bit of fun with Christmas trees. Christmas trees are sort of like lambs in that their meaning is to die. That is their point. These Christmas trees are victims of our holiday festivities. I'm going to take my death instrument out to those trees, or as Gimli would say, and my axe. All the Lord of the Rings geeks going, oh, he quoted Gimli from that. Yes, I think I got that one exactly right. We're going to take this sucker, and we're going to go out into this Christmas tree farm, and we're going to see the deep spiritual significance of Christmas trees, of lambs, and of what it looks like to have a life that is ruled by the meaning of Christmas. This jacket has been in front of more campfires than you can imagine. It's just not worth buying a new one, so whenever I start to see fuzz come out, I stick some tape on it. You could say that this jacket is a victim. We're born victims. We're all victims. That doesn't sound very complimentary. Let me try to explain this a little bit. When I was in high school, my friends and I, we had a scam that we used to operate. We would tell the study hall teacher that we were going to the library. So we'd sign the thing there, we'd go to the library. Before the pass would get to the library, we'd scratch our names off the pass. So a study hall teacher thought we were in the library. Librarian didn't know we were supposed to be there because it was scratched off. Then we would go to an empty room in the building, and we would take our skull chewing tobacco and our backgammon, and we would just hunker down and play backgammon the whole period and choo-choo. It was wonderful. God bless America. It was really great. Eventually, after several months, we got found out. We got found out. We all got called into the principal's office, and we got called in. The principal said to one of my friends, said, did you play backgammon and lie on the form? And my friend said, well, we all did. And I was sitting there going, whoa, no, wrong question. Just say yes, so you take the fall. He said, well, we all did. In hindsight, he knew we all did. My friend was just covering his butt and wouldn't matter one way or another. But it was interesting that that was a representation of a biblical truth that's known as original sin. It's this idea that Adam and Eve sinned, and they were our representative. And so when they sinned, when they took of the fruit they should have taken, we all sinned. They represented us. I know that might be a real bummer for some of us, but believe me, if you're in the same place and Satan was tempting you, you wouldn't have done any better. They were our representative, and that way we all sinned. We are all a victim of sin. It affects and infects all of our lives. It affects our thought patterns, it affects our relationships, it affects my motives, it affects how I spend my money, it affects everything. But here's the deal, there's a big difference between being a victim, that is having something done to you that you had no control over, this jacket as an example, the sin in our life, we had no control that sin was going to infect our lives. There's a difference between being a victim and playing the victim. Playing the victim is when you use your sinfulness or your issues or whatever's happening in America as a way to justify all of your behavior. We all have a level of control. We all have a level of responsibility in our life. Now, here's where it gets really, really interesting. Jesus is the ultimate victim. The ultimate victim is named Jesus. When Jesus comes onto the world stage, he comes onto the world stage in order to be victimized. When he first comes out in public, his cousin, John the Baptist, sees him coming, and in John 1:29, John says this, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Would you like to have a surfacey Christmas, or would you like to have something of substance? Doesn't matter what you say, because you're going to be the victim of something of substance. You know, I know that we like to think Christmas is just a nice, feel-good holiday, but I think you want something more. I think you need something more. We've got to understand that John was a prophet. Actually, he was in the line of Old Testament prophets. Even though he's recorded in the New Testament, he's in the line of Old Testament prophets where he would say and do really weird, strange things. He wore camel hair, pretty scratchy, pretty uncomfortable. He would eat locusts. He would go out in the middle of a field and he would call people to repentance. That is a turning away to being a victim of my current sinful circumstances, turning away and turning to God. And he understands all of the imagery in the Old Testament. There's so many things in the Old Testament that we don't understand. So many things are confusing. But we have to understand, to interpret and understand the parts of the Bible that came before Jesus, we have to realize that all those things were there to set us up for Jesus. All those things are there that are confusing, like intense acts of violence that are against lambs and other livestock are spiritual and religious and significant. They're setting us up for who Jesus is. All the dietary laws were setting us up for a new way that Jesus was to have us operate. That's why those things are there. They're not just difficult things in the Old Testament, but they're there to set up Jesus. And so when John says he is coming, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals, is what he's saying here. He's recognizing, I'm not worthy to untie this guy's sandals, this Lamb of God, because it's God himself coming. Jesus didn't begin existence when he was born in Bethlehem. Jesus's life existed long before there was ever Christmas, long before Mary and Joseph took their travels and bore him inside of a stable. Jesus existed. He's God. He's always been God. He's always been around. It's just that John was saying he's going to come cloaked in humanity. He's going to become clothed, if you will, in wool, this little lamb. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That passage is talking about Jesus. He is known as the Word. When God speaks all things into creation, the book of Genesis, Jesus is the actual Word that's being spoken there, because he has existed, pre-existed before Bethlehem ever came around. He just gets born and takes on human flesh, but he has always been. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He's saying before Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, existed, I existed. It's not only is he saying I existed before Abraham existed, but he's using the very name of God, which is I am. I told you, we're going deep here today. I think you can handle it, because you can't appreciate Christmas unless you understand the spiritual depth of Christmas. The name of God, his actual name that he gave himself, is I am. He gives it to Moses, who asks him, "Who will I say has sent me? Who?" And God says, "Tell him I am has sent you. I am, that's my name." Meaning, God says, I am sovereignly independent of all creation. I've never had a beginning. I just am. I is who I is. If you use today's bad grammar, I have some friends that bad grammar really bothers. So I like to say it. Tom, I know you hate it, but there it is. It's just for you. Actually, 7 times in the book of John, there are I am statements where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am living water. And all of these things, he's trying to speak in the Jewish theology, in the Jewish vernacular. I'm God. I've been around forever and ever. Jesus needs to be the point of our life, because he is life itself. Because he is God himself. And he comes as a human being, because he's fully God, fully man at the same time, and he comes fulfilling the role of the lamb. Lambs play a central role in the Bible. It was a lamb in the book of Exodus that led to the nation of Israel having their exodus out of bondage and slavery, and there was multiple miracles that enabled this to happen. The final one was they took the blood of a lamb and they put it over top of their doorposts. And when the angel of death comes to the land, every place that's marked with the blood of the lamb, the angel passes over that household. And wherever he doesn't see the lamb, he takes the firstborn in that household. All the Egyptian slaveholders lost their firstborn sons because they didn't have the blood of the lamb over top of their house. In Exodus 12:5, when God tells his people to do this, he says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." John is saying that the Lamb of God, the one who is celebrated on Passover, when God's judgment passed over the people of God, that lamb is coming here so you don't have to be a victim, because his power and his presence and his identity and his work is going to cover you. The lamb is going to be slayed for you. And all of the Old Testament stories of sacrifices in the temple, all those sacrifices that were happening in the temple where a priest would have these immaculate garments on and they would take the lamb or whatever the livestock was and they would take the knife and they would cut its throat and they would put it on top of the burning fire and they would take the blood and they would put it on the four horns of the altar. This was all an elaborate display of the grace of God that said, this animal is dying right now so you don't have to die. This animal right now is paying the price, and you can remember that your God is incredibly merciful and gracious, and he's not requiring you to lose your life right now. All of those sacrifices, all of those lambs that were slain to prepare the people of God for the ultimate Lamb of God, the very Son of God, who is going to come and lay down his life. You can't control the government. You can't control COVID. You can't control the stock market. You can't control your skin tone. But neither can you be a victim to those things. You can control your perspective. You can control your attitude. You can control your response. And the starting point for understanding all of those stimuli and more is understanding that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, has come to take away the sin of the world and to take away your sin, so you don't have to be a victim to your sin or your family baggage or your family of origin or your bankruptcy or anything else. You have a fresh and new start because he has made a way. Christmas is about the people of God who are saved from the judgment of God by the Lamb of God, Jesus. Jesus is not just a good preacher guy. He was a great preacher. That's not what he was. He's not just a good moral example. In fact, if he's only a moral example, Jesus can be oppressive because we can never live up to his example. Because he was utterly perfect. If he's just an example we're supposed to be like, if that's all what he is, it's a form of bondage because we'll never, ever, ever make it. He is a preacher. He is an example. But he's also a sacrificial lamb who goes in our place so that we don't have to go to the very place of the judgment of God. Christmas is it's a celebration of God's divine nature, his amazing love, pouring out his judgment on his son who didn't need to bear the judgment because he had never, ever sinned. Pouring it out on him so that you and I could experience his grace, his mercy, his fullness. So when Jesus goes and he dies on the cross as the sacrificial lamb, he does it because we all did it, right? So on one hand, we're a victim of being sinful, but then on the other hand, we're also a victim of having the holiness and love of God transferred to our account. He was the ultimate victim, and we now get to enjoy the experience of all of his goodness brought to us. He was the ultimate victim. It's why when he goes to the cross, he keeps his mouth shut. It's why when he goes and he is tried at his trial, he keeps his mouth shut. He doesn't defend himself. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 7, again, an Old Testament passage that was all setting up this amazing Christmas story. It prophesies about this ultimate lamb and says, while he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus was born to die. That's the point of the sacrificial lamb. He was born to die. He was given gifts at his birth, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh is embalming fluid. It's kind of a sick gift to a little kid. It's embalming fluid. Gold, he's the king. Frankincense. This aroma used in worship, myrrh, it is an embalming fluid. It was like the Magi when they came and they brought these gifts to him. They knew your whole point is to die. These trees, their whole point of their existence is to die. Just as there was somebody, however many years ago, that took and planted seeds in this ground. So God planted his seed in Mary, and just as the seed was planted in this ground, so that this could be cut down and die for you and I to have a great Christmas, you know, visual experience, so also the seed of God that was put inside Mary was put there so that he could die for you and for I. Now, as you start to understand the depth of Christmas, that this wasn't just an AD 1 kind of thing. This is a BC way, way, way back when. The whole scriptures start to come to life. In the book of Isaiah, it says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Handel's Messiah had that, you know. For unto us a child is given, and he shall reign forever and ever. You know, that whole Handel's Messiah. Beautiful music, but if you don't understand the spiritual meaning behind Handel's Messiah, it falls short. That Isaiah passage and John saying that he is the very Lamb of God is the reason for the season, not to borrow a cheesy Christmas bumper sticker, but he is the reason for the season. I am a victim of my sinfulness, of the sinfulness that I have inherited. He is the ultimate victim, that he went in my place, the ultimate victim who didn't deserve or bring any of it on himself, as God himself who took on flesh. And all of my sinfulness is transferred to his back. All of his holiness, all of his perfection is transferred to my back. So when God sees me, and when God sees anybody who receives Jesus, he doesn't see a victim. He doesn't see somebody who has problems. He doesn't see someone who has issues. He sees Jesus himself. Friends, that is good news. Actually, that's called the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of Christmas. Now, this victimization, we need to get off the victim thing, because again, no one can stay a victim. And you can't own your victimhood. You can't act as a victim. We have things that we inherit, yes, but we can't be playing the victim. And God doesn't want us to play the victim either. Because the book of Romans tells us that we're not victims any longer. In fact, it says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I go from being a victim to being a conqueror. The victimization of Jesus leads to our victory. Our victory doesn't come from my self-help improvement plan. My victory doesn't come from my New Year's resolutions. My victory doesn't come by whatever the government funds for me. My victory comes from the riches of Jesus, the death that he's given to me, the riches that he has purchased for me. Let me give you one more verse today, just so you see that this thread of Christmas, this thread of Jesus being the Lamb, this thread of victimhood to conquering goes throughout the entire Bible. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says that knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So it says we were ransomed, so we were bought. We had things that we inherited from our forefathers. That was all sorts of sins and all that stuff. And Jesus doesn't buy our freedom with silver or gold. Silver and gold, silver and gold. There's another Christmas. I don't even know if Earl Ives or whatever his name was in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Herbie wants to be a dentist. I haven't seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for a long time. I've got to find that one. I hope they stream that someplace. Anyway, silver and gold probably was prompted by this verse. And Jesus didn't use silver or gold. He used his own blood. The blood of a lamb that had no blemish. Remember the blemishes of the ancient Israelites? They're supposed to take an unblemished lamb. That is not one that was about ready to die, a really good lamb, and smear its blood over. Jesus is an unblemished lamb. He's never committed a sin, as only God could never commit a sin. So while we were all born victims, we don't need to stay a victim. Because the ultimate victim, Jesus himself, God himself, laid down our life for us. What a great, great act of love, a great act of mercy, a great act of power, of lavish generosity, of giving us a new identity and freedom and forgiveness. So now, not only are we not victims, but we're actually conquerors. We have the ability and power, spiritual power, to get over our past, to get over our problems, to create a new future while we walk with Him side by side, going towards the things that He wants us to go toward. These trees, when you sit around a tree this Christmas, you sit around a tree knowing that there's all kinds of different theories about why the Christmas tree popped up in our culture. But when I look at a Christmas tree, I remember the verse in the Bible that says that Jesus was hung on a tree. When I look at a Christmas tree, I remember the ultimate victim, the ultimate king, hung on a tree, and I celebrate that this Christmas. That this king, this Lamb of God Himself, was planted here to die. And believe it or not, we celebrate that death because He did it on His own, and He did it to give us life. I think this is the one right here. I think this is the one. Yeah, this is the one. It's gonna be a good Christmas. Not because I hope this thing looks really great. It's gonna be a good Christmas for everything that this represents. Don't fall for a normal life. Don't fall for being a victim. God has not created you to be a victim or to stay a victim. You can be more than a conqueror, and you can be that way because of the very Lamb of God who's come to take away your sin and give you a new future. He's the one that we celebrate this Christmas. You know, some of that might have made sense to you for the first time. Maybe you've never heard it before. Maybe you've heard some of the words, but your heart heard it for the first time. You can receive that Lamb of God right now. You can have all of His goodness transferred to your account and all of your sin transferred to His account simply by turning to Him and saying a prayer that's one that so many of us have prayed a long time ago. Let me just lead in that prayer if you want to pray this prayer. Just say it after I say it. It goes something like this. Jesus, I want You in my life. I ask You to forgive me for my sin. Please transfer to me all of Your holiness. Fill me with Your Spirit. I give my life to You. And as best I can, I'll follow You the rest of my life. Amen. It's good stuff right there, friends. That is life-changing, eternity-changing things. We ought to sing a song right now that was done earlier before about beholding the Lamb. Now we can behold the Lamb in a new way, given that we've experienced what we just experienced. So let's sing that together right now.
Precious Lamb of God, You were born into sin that I may live again. The precious Lamb of God, and holy is the Lamb. The precious Lamb of God.
Hey, thanks for coming today. I hope you had a great, great time. I tell you what, we got even a greater time coming. We have our Christmas special. It's about ready to roll. I think you are going to be incredibly encouraged and inspired and get something that is exactly what the doctor ordered for your life and for my life. So we'll see you then.
We're tapping into the original setting of Christmas, which is grungy, it's dirty, it's unideal, kind of like 2020 is. This might be the year where you have the most true-to-form Christmas that you've ever had, and it may be the time when you encounter Jesus for the first time in a very significant and profound way. Shepherds were in wonder over this first Christmas. They're in wonder over angels visiting them and talking to them. They're in wonder over what they see with Mary and Joseph. They're utterly astounded. I think that we've lost the wonder in our culture and our time. We need to have a healthy dose of wonder and mystery in our spiritual walk, and that happens at Christmas. We can't fully understand and know everything about the Christmas story, but I like it that way. I think God likes it that way because He wants us blown away by the possibilities, by the mystery, and by the wonder of this whole thing that's playing out. God Himself comes to the earth and takes on flesh to bring something to our lives that we couldn't manufacture on our own. That's Christmas, and that's wonder.